This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
After the attempted assassination of President Trump and Butler, the Biden campaign knew they were toast. They knew it was over. And then it was shortly after that that Biden dropped out of the race. That was just revealed to us by Amy Parnes. She was doing the interview about the book Fight. So there you go. Made some news on the show today. So, you know, that's good stuff. OK, before he got on Marine One today, the president addressed Peter Doocy, asked a question about the stock market, which obviously had a very, very rough day today. And look, before you jump off a building, I'm just here to tell you, calm down. This is not going to last long. And I hate to burst your bubble if you think the tariffs are going to fuel the American economy and we're not going to have an income tax anymore, because that's not going to happen either. So I'm just, you know, I always give you my analysis. I always tell you the truth, what I believe. I don't sugarcoat it. And I never tell you what I think you want to hear, because I don't know what you want to hear. You're an individual and you're an adult, even though you're probably a child inside if you like this program, because let's face it, we're all pretty much childish for liking the show. I tell you, I mean, you know, again, calling it like I see it, you know, got a certain childlike quality to you to appreciate this program, you know, childlike exuberance, if you will, and immaturity, and basically to be a 14-year-old boy trapped in your body, whether you're a male or female adult, either doesn't matter. So, but I tell you what I think, and I think there's some people out there celebrating that this is going to be the end of the income tax because tariffs are going to fuel the American economy like they did when Alexander Hamilton was president. I don't even know why Scott Bessent is even bringing Hamilton up at this point. That's not going to happen. And, you know, I got other people like Johnny Cook, who's about to jump off a building because he thinks it's going to lead to worse than the Smoot-Hawley tariffs and global economic calamity. And that's not going to happen either. It's just going to be that these countries are going to start caving. Trump's going to start announcing wins next week. And it's going to be result in, I think, a much more level playing field for American companies to compete in other markets. And those countries are going to have companies that are going to do business in America by investing in America. I think that's what's going to be the ultimate answer here. That's what I would say. I've been wrong before, not much, not often, but it could happen. But here's what the president said before getting on Marine One. Take a listen.
I think it's going very well. It was an operation, like when a patient gets operated on, and it's a big thing. I said this would exactly be the way it is. We have $6 or $7 trillion coming into our country, and we've never seen anything like it. The markets are going to boom, the stock is going to boom, the country is going to boom, and the rest of the world wants to see, is there any way they can make a deal? They've taken advantage of us for many, many years. For many years, we've been at the wrong side of the ball, and I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be unbelievable. The thing that people have to talk about, we're up almost to $7 trillion of investment coming into our country. And you'll see how it's going to turn out. Our country's going to boom.
All right. Let's hope that's the case. Now, I'm going to play a clip for you. This is Thomas Sowell, Dr. Thomas Sowell. My inspiration for my political philosophy in life, because when I was in college, after being... I mean, I was really a Republican since I was in like sixth grade. My friends used to joke that I was Alex Keaton. I had a picture of President Reagan on my desk in sixth grade. No, for real, I did. And so But that said, I went through years of brainwashing in the public school system, and I was at the University of Maryland. So there was attempts to brainwash me there. Although I did have a great political science professor, this guy, David McIntosh, who was great. And he assigned us the Federalist Papers. And I quickly realized that was the greatest book I've ever read. And I was obsessed with it. And that, and then my friend Greg Redhoff, who was a history professor, said, you know, you got to start reading Thomas Sowell's books. And I said, okay, and picked up a book and never looked back. And he's a genius and he's brilliant and he's spot on about the effects that long-lasting tariffs will have. And I agree with him. But I also agree with what he says, and I think it's what I'm saying, which is that if Trump is using this as a negotiating tool, which is what I think he's doing. So I think two things can be true at the same time. Okay, I am not a fan of global tariffs. I do not think in the long run this is a good thing. And I've been very clear about that. But I do believe that Trump is a master deal maker. And I believe that Trump is absolutely 100% doing what needs to be done to lower the barriers of entry for American companies to compete in these markets and to ensure that it's a level playing field. And I think these countries are going to balk. And that's what you're going to see as a result. And if not, it is going to be bad. But again, as I've told you, Trump wants to be nothing but a success. He wants to go down as being the most consequential, greatest, most beloved president of all time. He strives for nothing less. That's how he is with everything. That's how Donald Trump approaches everything he does. So that's the insurance policy against that happening. Because if it's not working, he's going to readjust. And I truly believe that There is, and there's no doubt in my mind about this, that this is going to be over before you realize it. So, you know, that's because he wants success. And once these countries stop screwing us, because they have been screwing us, their governments have been screwing us, then it's going to be a much different story. Now, whether or not that benefits our companies and our country economically remains to be seen, because, you know, they may drop barriers to entry and it may be a level playing field and it may not matter all that much. They may drop barriers to entry and it may be a level playing field and it doesn't really turn out to be a game changer. But it may turn out to be that we still have to make things. We still have to import things overseas. We just simply can't build the kind of things in America that we need to for certain things. That may be the case. All of that remains to be seen. But what's very obvious, though, is that these countries have much more to lose than we do. They have much more to lose by not doing business in America than we do by not doing business in their countries. And I'm not just talking about European countries, but I'm talking about a lot of countries around the world as well. They have a lot to lose if they're not doing business in the United States of America. In fact, let me replay that clip. This is the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors who was speaking this morning about this issue and the reassurance. And I agree with this analysis. I do. I agree with this analysis of this is Steve Miron, cut number 30.
Yeah, so the reason why I don't think tariffs are inflationary at all is because traditional economic analysis, what economists call incidence analysis, argues that the more inflexible party bears the burden of the of any policy, whether it's a tariff, a tax, a subsidy, anything at all. And we're very flexible. We can substitute into home production. We can substitute among different exporting countries, whereas other countries are much more inflexible because they've organized their entire economies around exporting to the American consumer. There is no substitute for the American consumer. That gives us the leverage and means that ultimately, in the long run, they'll bear the burden of the tax. What that means is no material price increases for Americans in the long run.
Okay, great. If that's the case, then outstanding. Can we turn on pot up Fox News real quick? President Trump taking questions on Air Force One. Okay, that's right. I'm a couple
Speaking
seconds ahead.
Air Force One moments ago. Let's listen to that.
Oh, I haven't seen you in a while. $5 million. $5 million, this could be yours. That was the first of the cards. You know what that card is?
Gold card.
It's the gold card. The Trump card, gold card.
Who's the first buyer?
Me.
Who's
I'm the
second?
First. I don't know, but I'm the first buyer. It'll be out in about less than 2 weeks, probably. Pretty exciting, right?
Ready for some questions?
Anybody want to buy one? Okay, let's go.
First, we'd love to get your reaction, sir, to what's going on in the financial markets today.
Well, I mean, it's to be expected. This is a patient that was very sick. We really inherited a terrible economy, as you know, with a lot of problems, including loss of manufacturing and plants closed up all over the country. You know, we've lost 90,000 plants since NAFTA, if you think of that. 90,000. It's not even believable. And about 6 million jobs. And so it was a sick patient. It went through an operation on Liberation Day. And it's going to be a booming country. A very booming country. It's going to be amazing, actually. And we see it because we have trillions of dollars committed to come in. Trillions.
Sir, can I ask you, when you say that it was an operation and the patient's healthy now, does that mean you see us as kind of towards the high water mark in terms of how high?
Sure. The operation's over, and now we let it settle in. You see the plants are starting to construction already. We have many plants. Indiana, massive auto plant. Honda. And we have so many plants, and they'll be under construction. And as they start to build, you're going to see a lot of construction jobs, and you're going to see a lot of jobs when they open.
Does that mean chips and pharma tariffs are not on the table?
They're starting very soon. The chips are starting very soon. Pharma is going to be starting to come in, I think, at a level that you haven't really seen before. We are looking at pharma right now, pharmaceuticals. That's a separate category. And we'll be announcing that sometime in the near future, not too distant future. That's under review right now.
Are you negotiating with partners currently?
What we have is a set of tariffs based on what they have been charging us. That's reciprocal. And those tariffs have come in, and every country's called us. That's the beauty of what we do. We put ourselves in the driver's seat. If we would have asked some of these countries, almost most of these countries, to do us a favor, they would have said no. Now they'll do anything for us. But we have tariffs, they've been set. And it's going to make our country very rich.
But are you open to deals with these countries if they're calling you?
Well, it depends. If somebody said that we're going to give you something that's so phenomenal, as long as they're giving us something that's good. For instance, with TikTok as an example, we have a situation with TikTok where China will probably say, we'll approve a deal, but will you do something on the tariff? The tariffs give us great power to negotiate. Always have. I've used them very well in the first administration, as you saw, but now we're taking it to a whole new level because it's a worldwide situation, and it's very exciting to see. And what it's done is driven a lot of great companies to our country, and you're going to see construction starting all over. I already got a couple of calls from Lee Zeldin from Environmental. He's got some big plans to approve.
How long will it take to get manufacturing, with American manufacturing, to where you would like to see it?
Well, let's say it's a 2-year process. You know, they start a plant, and they're big plants. We're giving them approval to also, in many cases, to build the electric facility with it. So you have electric generation and the plant, and they're big plants. Now, the good news is a lot of money for them, and they can build them fast, but they're still very big plants. So I'd always say it would take a year and a half to 2 years.
Mr. President, I'm curious. They've already started.
Have you been following the New York City mayor's race, and specifically Andrew Cuomo is now the front runner, according to the polls? How do you feel about that? Do you think you can have a good relationship with the mayor, Andrew Cuomo?
Well, I've always gotten along with him. We had our ins and outs a little bit. We did a great job for him. Remember, we built the convention center rooms for him. He didn't use them, unfortunately. And we sent the Mercy ship. We sent the really magnificent hospital ship, and they didn't use it. But we always had a pretty good relationship.
You going to make an endorsement in that race?
Well, it's not something I'm thinking about yet. Is he thinking about running? Yeah.
On Russia-Ukraine, there's a Russian envoy in town for some meetings. Can you give us an update on how that's going?
We do. We have an envoy from Russia. We're talking about it. We'd like to see that stop as soon as possible.
because thousands of people are being killed a week, soldiers, mostly soldiers, and Ukrainian soldiers and Russian soldiers. And you're losing 2,000, 3,000 sometimes a week. So we're spearheading the drive to get it done. Europe has not been successful in dealing with President Putin, but I think I will be successful.
Sir, can I ask you about the NSC? How many staffers were let go and why? Your National Security Council, how many staffers were let go?
There were some. Always we're let go of people that we don't like, or people that we don't think can do the job, or people that may have loyalties to somebody else. You'll always have that.
Sir, you mentioned Netanyahu recently. Israel has now talked about staying in Gaza, doing long-term occupation. Has anything changed in regard to the U.S. Gaza-Israel plans?
I spoke to him today, as a matter of fact. And I think he's going to be coming to our country sometime in the not-too-distant future, maybe next week. And we'll speak about Israel. We'll speak about what's going on. That's another thing we'd like to get solved. And I think we will get it solved. But I think he very well may be coming. Benjamin Netanyahu.
Can I follow up on your earlier comment about TikTok? You said that the Chinese might be willing to agree to approve that sale in exchange for tariff relief. Is that something that you've floated to them, or you've heard from them?
No. I'm just using that as an example.
Okay.
Let's say we had a problem with TikTok, and let's say China wasn't going to approve. We could use tariffs in order to get it approved.
You know,
you give them something in return.
What's the update on the deal negotiations?
We're very close to a deal with a very good group of people. For TikTok.
Larry Ellison and Oracle.
Is it multiple investors?
Multiple.
And then did the last minute bids kind of throw things into disarray for you, or do you have your strategy completely locked up on who's going to...
Which last minute?
On acquiring TikTok.
I think that China maybe will call and say, well, we're upset with the tariffs, and maybe they want to get something a little bit in order to get TikTok approved. Who knows? I have no knowledge of that.
On Israel, can you give us any update on the Palestinian relocation plan? Are we talking to any countries?
We're going to try and solve the Gaza problem. It's been a problem for many years, for many, many decades. It's been a big problem. I've met with, as you know, a lot of the hostages. It's a terrible situation. But if you notice, hostages are being released now. And that's happened only since I got involved. So we have hostages being released, quite a few, actually.
You're still committed to the relocation?
I'd like to get as many hostages as we can. And then Gaza's a very, very important thing. It's been under siege for many, many years. And it's a shame. A lot of people die in Gaza. Gaza's been a place we have, but a lot of people die. A lot of bad things happen in Gaza. We'll see what we can do about it.
The dinner tonight, can you tell us about it? Who's going to be there? Any leaders?
So dinner tonight is I have a couple of them, actually. But a lot of it's based around charity. It's at Doral. And we raise a lot of money for charities. We'll also having one of the big professional golf tournament there live. And that'll take place over the next few days at Doral from, tomorrow till... I think they have a pro-am right now, but I'll be speaking tonight. I think I'm making a speech to the players, great players, some of the best players in the world. And ultimately, hopefully, the two tours are going to merge. That would be good. I'm involved in that, too. But hopefully, we're going to get the two tours to merge. You have the PGA Tour, you have the LIV Tour. And I think having them merge would be a great thing.
Mr. President?
Yes.
About the tariffs, do you have any message for the American businesses that might feel the impact of any reciprocal tariffs coming from the EU, for example, or from other countries?
Well, I think it's going to all work out. Remember, there are no tariffs if you build your plant or you build your product, make your product in the U.S. And so a lot of people, I mean, there's going to be a transition period because they're going to be building instead of paying tariffs to some other place. But there are no tariffs. If you think there are no tariffs, all you have to do is make your product in the United States. So and a lot of people are doing that. They're moving, like the auto companies. I know I've spoken to two of the four or five that are really active. and they've already started moving their parts making things out of Mexico, out of Canada, and into the United States.
So do you have a sense of how long Elon Musk's mission will last and when he will depart?
Well, Elon is fantastic, and I think it's, you know, he's a patriot, and I think it's a shame what they're doing with his car company. And a great car, it's a great car, great product. And it tells you what a patriot he is. It's amazing. No, I mean, as long as he'd like, I like smart people, and he's a smart person. I also like him personally. When he endorsed me, that's when I really got to know him. I knew him a little bit before that, but not much, and then he endorsed me. And it was a very strong, embracing endorsement, as we all know. And I would say Elon will stay for a certain period of time, and then he's going to want to get back to his businesses full time. But he's done a fantastic job. We found hundreds of, think of it, just hundreds of, we found millions of dollars of fraud and abuse and waste. And they're still going. I mean, they're going strong. They found something today that's horrible. It's horrible. So what they found, well, you'll find out very soon. What they found is incredible. And I give him a lot of credit. He's got some very smart people with him.
Do you think he can finish?
They're working very closely with our secretaries and the people that are the heads of the
Do you think
you would appoint him to another position once his 130 days?
Well, I think Elon's great, but he also has a company to run, or a number of companies to run. You know, that he can do this, that he can find the time. He loves the country. That's why he does it. But we're in no rush. But there'll be a point at which time Elon's going to have to leave.
So he doesn't have to a specific date.
I would think a few months.
Even when Elon leaves and goes back to being CEO, will Doge stick around in some kind of capacity?
Yeah, it'll still Doge itself. Yeah, at some point.
Like?
Just so you understand, I don't want to get it wrong. I want Elon to stay as long as possible. Number one, I like him. Number two, he's doing a great job. Number three, he is a patriot. That's why he's doing this. And he's, you know, it's very costly for him. But, so I want him to stay as long as possible. But there'll be a point where he's going to have to leave. And when he does, the secretaries will take totally over. And Doge will stay active. We have a lot of smart people. A lot of those people, I believe, are going to go into the agencies. And they'll work on it from the inside.
You mentioned auto companies that you've been speaking with. Have you spoken to any executives today?
Yeah. I don't want to say who, but I speak to a lot of the auto executives. But we have much more than autos. We have chips coming in. We have steel coming
in.
The steel factories are opening up and expanding at levels that people have not seen. Also,
can you tell us a little bit about your meeting with Laura Loomer and Mike Waltz today, and how that came about?
So Laura Loomer is a very good patriot. She's a very strong person. And I saw her yesterday for a little while. She makes recommendations of things and people. And sometimes I listen to those recommendations, like I do with everybody. I listen to everybody, and then I make a decision. But I saw her yesterday. She was at the ceremony. And she'll always have something to say, usually very constructive.
What did she recommend?
She recommended certain people for jobs.
Adding to the administration,
not
firing?
Well, she'll recommend that too. But yesterday she recommended some people for jobs.
Did she have anything to do with the NSC aides who were ousted?
No, not at all.
Do you know how many, sir? Do you know how many from the NSC?
Not many.
Was it five, a dozen?
I really don't know.
Who does Laura want?
There were a couple there.
Who did Laura recommend hire?
Well, I don't want to say that, but she's recommended some good people over the years. She's been in the party a long time. She's done a good job.
Do you trust your national security staff is doing what you want them to do?
We've done very well. We've had big success with the Houthis, as you probably know. Nobody's been able to do it like us. Shooting the boats out of the water, they were sinking ships. That's what they want to do. They're getting a big charge out of sinking ships. And unfortunately, they're associated with Iran very closely. So they have to stop that, but we've hit them very hard, and we've been hitting them very hard.
Sir, did you talk to Congresswoman Luna about her resolution to end maternity?
Congresswoman
about her resolution to allow
I think that, and I'm going to let the speaker make the decision, but I like the idea of being able to, if you're having a baby, I think you should be able to call in and vote. I'm in favor of that, but I understand some people aren't. I'm not involved in the issue, but I did. I spoke to Anna yesterday. She and some people feel strongly about it, and I would agree with her, yeah.
Sir, you mentioned Iran. They have come out and said if they're going to sit down with the U.S., they want to use an intermediary. And I believe the U.S. want a direct talks. Would you still be willing to talk to them by an intermediary?
I think it's better if we have direct talks. I think it goes faster and you understand the other side a lot better than if you go through intermediaries. They want to use. They wanted to use intermediaries. I don't think that's necessarily true anymore. I think they're concerned. I think they feel vulnerable, and I don't want them to feel that way. And I think they want to meet, Iran. They're talking about Iran.
You said you don't think they want to use intermediaries anymore. Did they send another letter?
Yeah.
Did the UAE let you know about this?
I know for a fact. I think they'd like to have direct talks.
Can you say anything about what the letter said from Iran?
No, I'm just telling you, I think they want to have, forget about letters, I think they want to have direct talks.
When could that happen?
On Pete Hegseth and this IG investigation, do you want to weigh in on that?
What is it?
There's an IG investigation into the Secretary of Defense's use of the Signal app.
Oh, is that, you're bringing that up again? Don't bring that up again. Your editors probably. That's such a wasted story. So what else?
Chinese farmland. Do you have some plans for Chinese ownership of farmland in the U.S.?
We look at that all the time. And look, I have a very good relationship with China and with the president. I have a lot of respect for President Xi. So, we look at that all the time.
Yeah.
Farmland, it's been an issue for years. People have talked about it for years. But I have a lot of respect for China, and I have a lot of respect for President Xi.
When's the last time you talked to President Xi?
I speak to him. Doesn't matter when, but I speak to him.
Have you talked to Zelensky recently?
Not too long ago, yeah.
How did that go?
Good. I think he's ready to make a deal.
No progress, though, other than that?
I think a lot of progress. No, he's ready to make a deal, and I think that President Putin is ready to make a deal. And you'll stop the killing of thousands of young people a week.
Did Kirill Dmitriev say that to your his counterparts in the U.S.?
Who?
Kirill Dmitriev, the Russian negotiator that's in Washington right now?
I don't talk about specific people. I just will tell you that there's a lot of good conversation going on about Ukraine, Russia.
Sir, have you given your approval for the UK's deal over the Chagos Island that Prime Minister Sturmer in your discussion?
We're talking to the Prime Minister about it, and we'll see how that turns out. We have a very good dialogue, and I think he was very happy about how we treated them on tariffs.
Sir, there are a lot of people who were upset about how
that...
The Daily Mail. A lot of people were upset today about how their 401ks were doing. Do you have investments? Were you looking at
I think I think our markets are going to boom. We've got to give it a little chance. But we're taking in jobs, and we're taking in industry, and we're taking in trillions of dollars. I think our markets are going to boom. We've got to give it a little bit of time. But they've already started construction on numerous plants. Soon it'll be many, many plants. All over the country they're going in.
You
got to give that a little time. I haven't checked my 401k. Thank you very much.
Sir,
everybody.
What was on the Fed? A lot of money markets are now pricing in more Fed cuts this year.
But one thing I like is interest rates going down. I see that happening.
And interest, yield,
you know what's beautiful
4%.
Is interest rates go down. I like groceries going down. I like eggs going down, if you look at it. And very importantly, the gasoline prices are going down. So a lot of good things are happening. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Mr. President.
Air Force One just a few moments ago. Couple things to point out. He was talking about some trade barriers. There are non-tariff barriers imposed on American products. I wanted to share a couple of those with you. For example, the EU can sell all their shellfish it wants to the United States, all the shellfish it wants to the U.S., yet the EU uses non-scientific regulatory barriers to bar shellfish exports from 48 states. In the United States of America, China's non-tariff measures and high tariffs on U.S. agricultural products like soybeans, pork, wheat and corn have greatly restricted market access for American farmers. Removing these barriers would generate an estimated $6 billion in additional annual exports of these products. Indonesia maintains local content requirements across a broad range of sectors, complex import licensing regimes, and starting this year, will require natural resource firms to onshore all export revenue for transactions worth $250,000 or more. India has a tariff on cars that are imported to the country that's over 70%. So those are some of the ideas of barriers to entry that the president is hoping will go away as they negotiate all this. And obviously, if those barriers go away, that's great. The United States of America. That's a great move. That would make all of us very, very happy. And speaking of happy, you'll be happy to join us on June 20th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for our next live show, our first live show of the summer, Friday, June 20th. And now's the time for you to make your Memorial Day weekend reservations at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Do it today because they will sell out like they always do. Paula Scanlon will join us next. We got a lot more to come. The media, so much faux praise on Spartacus Booker, comedians lavishing fake praise on Booker. We're just getting warmed up. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
USA Fencing has disqualified a female fencer for refusing to fight her trans opponent. Stephanie Turner discarded her mask and took a knee in protest ahead of her bout against opponent Redmond Sullivan, who's a bio dude. Here to talk about it with me is our friend Paula Scanlon. Paula, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on today.
Well, I love having you on. First of all, you're a local, you're Philadelphia's own. You swam at Penn. Now you're trying to flip New Jersey red. I mean, you're a rock star, so I appreciate you being here. And you should follow Paula, by the way, on X at Paula Y Scanlon. And there's a lot to talk about, too. There's a lot to unpack because we have also Will Thomas is back in the news. But do you know this woman who took the knee?
I don't know her personally, but I saw that she did that. She went on Fox News and talked about it, which was great. And USA Fencing also put out a statement against her, essentially. I was just looking at it before I got on here, and it's a lot of words, but for those who haven't seen it yet, I'll give you the brief summary. I hate women, and women don't deserve their own sports. Have a good night.
Well done, Paula Scanlon. Well done. Excellent. Blah, 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 blah. We hate women and women can screw off. We want biological men to be able to beat them in sports.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We have a video of her taking the knee. Let's take a watch here. There's not any sound to it, but people can watch this on our YouTube stream right now. Go ahead. And I think, we had this whole thing of people taking the knee to protest. The media hailed them as heroes, and they were taking a knee to protest the police and to protest America. In my opinion, this woman's a hero because she refused to compete. She knew ahead of time that she was going to have to face a biological dude, and she just walked in there. She said to him respectfully, I respect you and what you do, but I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to compete. Took a knee, and that was that. So, Paula, I think she deserves a lot of credit. What's been the reaction from your organization and the other organizations out there that are fighting to ensure that female women in sports are protected?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very supportive of her. I mean, we've been so supportive of so many athletes in the past. I think boycotts have been effective. We saw the past NCAA volleyball season, right? San Jose State had a male on their roster. Teams refused to compete against San Jose State, forfeited the matches, and it was a huge news story, and it stayed in the press for a really long time because, again, so many different people were forfeiting, and this became a huge story. I mean, Icons was the first organization that posted about it. I've worked with them personally as well. I think that their post has millions of views. It was recirculated by really large accounts. I mean, this is something that it shows a lot of eyeballs. And I think what's even worse is not even the video itself, but what this girl was told afterwards. She was kicked out of the match and they told her they were going to give her a black card. I don't really know anything about fencing, if I'm being honest, but she was basically banished from the competition. And even her male opponent said to her, someone from the board is in here and supports me being here. Okay. Just because you're supported by some whack job sitting on the USA fencing board does not mean that you belong in women's sports. And this girl had every right to take a stance and object to it. And I am very proud of her. I don't know her personally, but I think that the majority of people really do stand behind her. And I think she knows that because she's spoken about this publicly. I think she knows the support that we have for her. And I'm grateful that she did this.
Big name came out in support of her, and that's Martina Navratilova, the famous tennis star. She posted the following on X. I'll read it. She said, "This is what happens when female athletes protest. Does anyone here still think this is fair? I am fuming, and shame on USA Fencing. Shame on you for doing this. How dare you throw women under the gender bull-ass bus," she wrote on X. Good for her, because I agree. USA
Thank
Fencing should not
that,
punish
actually.
Her.
Martina has blocked me on Twitter, so unfortunately I was not able to see that.
Why?
Thank you for letting me know.
That's crazy. She shouldn't block you. You guys are on the same side on this issue.
On this issue, Rich, maybe, but other issues.
Maybe other issues, not so much. Fair enough. Former NCAA fencer Juliana Purcell also weighed in. Juliana Purcell blocked me. I don't even know who she is, but she just blocked me. That's just ironic. As a retired D1 NCAA fencer, I was forced to compete against men who claim to be women. Female athletes dedicate our lives to our sport only to have men take our spots, our titles, and our future. Kudos to the women who refuse to accept this injustice. And USA Fencing said, USA Fencing enacted our current transgender and blah, 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 blah. And you translated that for
I hate women.
Today.
Women don't deserve their
own
sports. Have a good night.
I applaud her for taking the stand. I think it's a disgrace that USA Fencing gave her a black card like this. And I just think all the women who are saying enough is enough with this and more of them need to do so, they have to speak out. They have to speak up.
Definitely. And again, in the past, female athletes that have gone through this have not wanted to talk about it. I mean, I think even kudos to this girl for going on Fox News and talking about it. I mean, I remember the first time I went on Fox News, people said to me, "How dare you? You're a fascist." And so it really shows how far we've come, that this is not about right versus left. This is really about fairness and about common sense versus crazy. And I think, again, the fact that, again, these athletes feel empowered to be able to do this, I think shows to how effective we've been at working at this. And also that we have a network of support for these athletes. As soon as this happens, we're able to talk about it and highlight their accomplishments. Obviously, Riley Gaines has been promoting all of this, great friend of mine, of course, and has been posting about this for the last day, you know, raising awareness to it. And everyone's really been picking up the story. And USA Fencing, if you're listening, I doubt they will be, change your policy. I mean, nobody wants this. Why are you standing by a man fencing against girls? Like, I don't understand that we're past this.
Yeah. Yeah, and they should respect her right to not compete against him. That's the bottom line. They should respect her right and say, totally understand. They shouldn't let him compete, in my opinion, but they certainly should not punish her. That's ridiculous. Speaking of Penn, where you swam and you had to deal with Will Thomas, i.e., you know, Leah Thomas, as Will goes by, biological male, out there making news this week saying that transgender athletes will not be canceled and acting as if, we're going to put them in camps or something like this. Just the histrionics. I mean, give me a freaking break here.
I don't understand. I don't get him. And honestly, I heard he went to law school because he wants to go. So he's at Drexel Law School. I don't know if he's graduated or what the situation is. Okay. That's what he was doing after graduation. And he said, "My dream is to go become a lawyer so I can stand up and fight for these rights." So I was basically just saying, okay, he's going to go be employed by the ACLU upon graduating because the ACLU strictly hires trans people. Have you seen their male lawyer that's actually a 5'5" woman with a really high pitched feminine voice? Do you know who I'm talking about? Because the ACLU, Chase is his name or her name or whatever. The ACLU is strictly hiring trans people to work on these issues. And so that's probably what he's trying to do by making these statements. And again, Leah Thomas, you could have competed in the men's team. You competed on the men's team for 3 years. I think that I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that you feel that way, but seriously, let it go.
Yeah, like let it go. Chase Strangio, is that the name?
So that's a woman. That is a woman who thinks that she is a man and is a lead lawyer at the ACLU. And every single time one of these transgender cases come up, Chase Strangio is there. And again, the ACLU is doing nothing but the trans issue these days. And so
right.
Leah Thomas is just waiting for his position to, you know, for them to hire him.
Strangio just seems to be an appropriate name, if you ask me. Anyway, give me an update real quick on New Jersey, the efforts that you're doing there with early vote action, Paula Scanlon, because I saw the NJGOP posted again. Record Republican voter registrations ahead of the gubernatorial and assembly race this year.
Absolutely. Yep. We've been having our people on the ground working hard, registering voters. That is what we're doing. I think the biggest thing is now we are starting to also work on flipping Democrats to be Republicans, which is really the best case scenario, right? Because they lose one, we gain one. We've been continuing month after month to have record in Republican registrations, and we hope to keep it up. Obviously, we need to get through the primary, and I know there's a lot of people who have a lot of talk, and there's been some conversations going on. We're staying out of that. We're committed to the Republican winner of the primary, and we will continue to register Republican voters that will turn out for whoever wins that primary, and we will win the race in November. And so we're still going to be working with more volunteers, going to more places, especially in the summer. We're hoping to get on the boardwalk, go to country fairs, farmers markets, you name it. If there's outdoor activities that people are at, we will be there. And I'm excited. Everyone's been working hard, and the numbers are continuing to be in our favor.
Good. You know, I think it's smart to stay out of the primary. I think you guys are making the right decision, because this thing's getting ugly. And when this is over, the party has to come back together. And that's not easy after a primary. And I was a Republican county chairman for 7 years. And that was always the hardest part of the job, was bringing, you know, putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. So I think it's, you guys are making the right move here. Your organization, I mean, making the smart move here in this. I just want to, you know, we'll be in Jersey a couple times over the summer, June 20th and also August 15th. We'll be at the Grand Hotel doing our show live there. So maybe we can do a little thing with early vote action in Cape May. That could be kind of fun. And maybe definitely, we'll make something happen there.
We'll be there. I would love it. I'll flag it for everyone. We'll make it happen.
All right. Awesome. Paula Scanlon, always a pleasure, my friend. Please make sure you stay in touch. Keep up the great work. Like I said, you are a rock star. Follow Paula at Paula Y. Scanlon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along, we still have a whole hour ahead of us, but I want to make sure that you know a couple of other things in the news today. It's not just all about tariffs, but I promised I would play the cut of Dr. Thomas Sowell, and I will. So there you go. Also, in the next hour, I want to get into a little bit more about Count Grand Sangelis, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage Band with all the people. Well, actually, you know, I get a minute here. Let me do that. Let me play for you. This is from our friends over at Newsbusters, a little montage of all of the people just kissing up to Cory Booker, who accomplished absolutely nothing with his 25 hours of grandstanding. Nothing. Accomplished literally nothing. What's your favorite montage, DeSantis? What do you like? Talk to me.
I always enjoy the news networks and how they gush over Democrats. So my preference would be for Cut 16, although a strong case could be made that no one gushes more than Rachel Maddow, which is Cut 17. So your choice, both of them are pretty strong.
Dealer's choice, Justin, pick one for us.
I think we're going to go with Rachel Maddow.
Let's do it.
I don't know if you are conscious of how much this caught the attention and caught the imagination of the American people. I know that you're not using electronic devices on the Senate floor. You're not watching your TikTok numbers and your YouTube numbers and the C-SPAN contemporaneous viewing numbers while you're there, because you can't be. But every time that I checked any form of media by which you could be live monitored, there were no less than tens of thousands of people watching in the same place that I was in that moment. What you've done with everything else that's going on with this administration, and the horrific cuts of, you know, 10,000 people fired today from the nation's health agencies and all these other things, this is the biggest story in the country right now. You have captured people's attention for 25 hours. And I'm wondering, for people who were moved by what you did,
yes,
either among your Senate colleagues or just people who watched you from home, what do you hope they might do differently if they're moved by you and they
get
feel
a life?
The same sort of spirit that caused you to do what you did?
Well, I hope that we're all served to be ignition points for each other. My constituents, the letters, the calls, the demands were definitely an ignition point for me. But
drama.
We've got to continue to ignite this movement.
Sounded like he was going to cry again.
It did. It did. I mean, that guy has more man tears, Justin, than anyone I know. I mean, they just spews him out on demand. He's such a drama queen. King, whatever. Booker. Drama they, them. Drama person. Drama senator. I don't know the appropriate, you know, I'm just saying.
By the way, did you see the
Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage band? What?
I was going to say, the New York Times wrote a big piece last night about how the body could withstand 25 hours of delivering a speech without breaks.
Yeah, you said that the physiology of what Cory Booker was able to accomplish, amazing. 25 hours, how he was able to withstand that for 25 hours, standing in a climate-controlled room of the United States Senate. What kind of a man this is, this bionic man. My gosh.
Do you think he wore a diaper? That is the part that baffles me, how he didn't go to the bathroom once in 25 hours.
We wore Depends, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
Because his explanation is he just didn't consume any liquids for, I think, 2 days before giving the speech. But I don't know if I believe it.
It doesn't matter if you don't consume any liquids before the speech. You're still going to have to, you know, tinkle at some point. Your body gets rid of toxins. It's what it does.
And he did knock out a couple glasses of water mid-speech.
Yes. And he had all the tears coming out, too. I mean, the water wasn't just lubricating the tears. It was also lubricating his bladder. So, no, I said this in my video I posted. I guarantee you he was wearing Depends.
He was sweating a lot, too. Because remember, he had AIDS that had to wipe his brow mid-speech?
Oh, that was pathetic, too. What an amazing, just like storming the beaches at Normandy, standing for 25 hours and talking. What kind of a man? His
heart rate shot up to 100 beats per minute while standing there.
My, he's like Captain America given the super soldier serum. Unbelievable. All right, we got a fourth and final hour straight ahead for you. A lot to get to. We'll talk more about what Trump said in Air Force One a few moments ago. If you're just joining us, where you've been, Dr. Mike Vidaria is the top story sponsor of the hour. Make sure you book an appointment to see him and get that free implant consultation. Go to VenariaDental.com, VenariaDental.com. Coming right back. Oh, Natural Lawn of America. Let me tell you about them. Natural Lawn of America. So all this rain, you see, the spring is here, which means that it's great for your lawn, and your lawn is going to get nice and green and lush, or it's going to be covered in weeds. Your choice. So make the choice that I made, which is Natural Lawn of America. They're going to take care of your lawn for you. And this is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Natural Lawn of America is dedicated to ensuring that how they treat your lawn is specific to your lawn. That means they come up with a customized program, and their safer organic treatment for your lawn means it's safer for the kids, safer for the pets, you get better results, and it's guaranteed results too. And from organic fertilizers to insect control, they handle it all for you. And every year, they will seed your lawn for free. That's right. Just call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED and sign up for their full service program. 1-800-FREE-SEED. That overseeding every year makes a huge difference in the health of your lawn. You will love working with Natural Lawn of America. You'll be really happy with the results. And if there's ever an issue, you call them right away. They come out and take care of it. That's the kind of customer service you can expect. So choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.